life's too easy.
Good morning, 709 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, country. Really?
Keep me in mind.
Okay, all right. I'm so excited. You know, I saw this headline, and this is going to sound like I'm criticizing NorthEscambia.com, and that's not what I mean. This is the same kind of thing that I have probably been guilty of, too. NorthEscambia, who I love, Bill Reynolds does a great job, okay? It's a fantastic news site. We use it every day. And it put out a story about the property tax thing. And the headline of the story is, Escambia County braces for $94 million revenue loss if Homestead Amendment passes. Perfectly decent headline, accurate, informative. You know, it's going to be $38 million in the first year as they go to $150,000, and it's going to be $56 million additional the next year and then recurring thereafter. But it's just a note that that headline could be written in an entirely different way. And the headline could have been written every bit as justified, fair, accurate, informative, if it had said, Escambia County citizens prepare for $94 million windfall if Homestead Amendment passes. Because the money that the county loses, so to speak, fails to get, is money that you and I would keep. Or it could have even said, Escambia residents start dreaming about $94 million windfall. Because, obviously, the focus, a lot of the criticism, and my own, has been on the loss to the government and their ability to do their job. But, of course, you know, it is the gain to you and me. And that is an equally valid part of the perspective on whether this is a good idea or not. And, again, I'm not picking on North Escambia. I have been, you know, doing the same basic thing. And just suddenly when I saw that headline, I thought, yeah, you know, there's another side to this as well. And I've said before, I'll say it again, I don't know how I'm going to vote on this in the fall. I haven't decided. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it today. We spent all day yesterday talking about it, and I want you to, you know, think about that. Sure, but I don't know whether I would have voted it off the floor. We had two very conservative, you know, Republican, Michelle Salzman, Alex Andrade voted for it. Nathan Boyles voted against it, and Judge Pat Maney, former general, voted against it. They were the only two Republicans to vote against it. And basically Nathan says, look, I just don't think this is the way. You know, he put out a statement yesterday about this, and, you know, which I agree, lots of questions and concerns about the way this is done. 437-1620, 437-1620. I thought this was a fascinating observation. I was reading an opinion piece or an op-ed, however you want to describe it. Editorials are typically written by the board. Opinions are written by citizens. Older Americans are hoarding America's potential. Older Americans are hoarding America's potential. The author has written a book, this guy named Samuel Moyne, has authored a book called Gerontocracy in America. Gerontocracy would be a rule of the older, the rule of the elderly, okay? Ageism identifies an enduring phenomenon, the mistreatment of older people for no reason other than being older. That's bad. Americans in middle age and beyond are routinely passed over for opportunities because of the irrelevant fact of a number on paper, how they act and look after getting older. Right. In today's world, the unfair discrimination they cite coexists with a different kind of unfairness, a gerontocratic society in which the old control ever more power and wealth, leading to overrepresentation in political life and unequal power in social life. Ooh, drama. Old people have too much sway because they've accumulated wealth, they've accumulated power, network, influence, they participate in politics, they have time to do that because they're not raising children anymore, not the same way. He goes on, he says, it's not ageist to ask whether older people should be required to give more to younger Americans and national priorities. It is critical to the future of our democracy and society. America needs to confront gerontocracy before the system collapses under the weight of its inequality and injustice. Older Americans deserve a say over the future, even when they might not live to see it, obviously. But they do not deserve the stranglehold over it they currently enjoy through overrepresentation in elections, which produces too many regressive policies and too many seniors in the highest offices. Older Americans, 437-1620, feel free to give me your thoughts on this. Older Americans are owed the care that everyone else funds. Indeed, they should get more of it than they get now, including funding for long-term care at home or in nursing homes. But they also need incentives to give up accumulated housing, jobs, and wealth. living in homes, not vacating them for smaller homes that would then open up for middle-sized families or growing families. You get kind of how that works in the homes market. In little more than a century, the extension of life has transformed American and global politics. It turned older Americans, who had been one of the most underprivileged groups in the country, into some of the most overprivileged. And then he goes on, our presidents are too old. So is our political class in general. But the hidden depth of gerontocracy is the advanced age of voters and the people holding wealth in this country. Seniors dominate elections, especially local and off-cycle ones, with their comparatively high rates of participation, which it's not their fault they play more, but it's true that they play more and therefore they have more influence. According to Phil Kiesling, a former Oregon Secretary of State, the median age of eligible voters these days is about 48. But the age of actual voters is about 52. And on the way up, outside presidential contests, it's 55 or 56. In primaries, it's 65, meaning that it is full-blown retirees who, on average, are picking the winners in primaries. Older Americans also disproportionately spend in elections. For example, in 2014, the most common age of the donors who financed that election was as high as 70. The wealth picture is stark. From 1990 to 2010, the median net worth of households headed by adults over 65 grew by 42%. In the same period, households headed by adults age 18 to 34, median net worth fell by 68%. Now, I think there's an argument to be made in favor of older folks having more influence. They know more. They're wiser. They are in a better position to make calculated decisions about the future, and decisions that you might say are for the benefit of the whole, for the benefit of the group, because at some point they recognize that they're not going to be part of it for a lot longer, and they start thinking more about legacy and long-term instead of short-term. They're willing to, you know, maybe delay some gratification a little bit because, you know, the pain of now versus the benefit of later. They think about those things in a way that maybe, you know, the 30-year-old doesn't think about them. So I just thought it was a very interesting observation, because we often think about ageism as discriminating against elderly people in certain domains, and that is absolutely true. That definitely happens. But we also have a discrimination, or at least an effective discrimination, in favor of old people in a variety of ways. And you might also say, well, they own the money. Why can't they use it the way they want? Or they own the time. Why can't they use it the way they want? Fair enough. 437-1620. Well, Andrew, if this works, doesn't mean more young people are going to vote. Isn't that terrifying? Yeah, a little. That's a little terrifying, too. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Roll back to accident-free, even delay-free. I'm not seeing anything to slow you down on 98, 29, 90, any of the roads, so you're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
437-1620. Somebody says on the text line, interesting that Michelle Salzman, Alex Andrade voted for the property tax bill. No one would claim they are DeSantis. Yes, man. True. I mean, certainly not Alex, and only, you know, I mean, Michelle has chosen to be a little bit more diplomatic towards the governor's office, understandably, I think. She also has more years left in her term. She has 4 years potentially in her term. Alex is termed out. They probably actually think this is a good idea. That's the property tax one. Right. Agreed. Somebody says property will skyrocket. Sales tax will skyrocket. Rent will be so high that no one will work in a store or fast food restaurant will be able to live in Florida. This is if the property taxes go away. The military will move many squadrons and wings to other states, and a very, you know, negative scenario about what will happen to all of us if we do this, which, you know, we have 5 months to decide. Somebody says young people need to vote. We oldsters will continue to influence the government because they don't. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't have influence if you don't participate. So, you know, it's kind of like their fault. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's today's strength for life.
What does it mean to be more than conquerors? Romans 8:37 says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Notice the word in all these things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril, nakedness, and sword. Most of us feel like a conqueror before we get to the time of tribulation, not in those times. Or we feel like a conqueror after we get through a time of distress. Yet the text says in all these things. And the key key phrase is through him that loved us. If you know the love of God through Jesus Christ, no circumstance of life can separate you from that love. Therefore, you can walk through this old world with a spiritual swagger and be fully persuaded that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church. Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m. Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Do you know what this is?
I know what this is. This is an espresso machine. No. It's a snow cone maker. That's what it is. Is it a water heater?
A thermonuclear warhead, sir. 7:20 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. True lies, John? True lies? No?
Oh, my.
Yeah, when he's captured, they've captured, the terrorists have captured Jamie Lee Curtis, and they're showing him the little warhead.
Will you just let me know which movies you watch, therefore I
all.
Can just...
I've watched all the movies.
I know, but when you update your stuff, just
no,
let me know.
No, that's an old one. I've had that one for a while.
Oh, well, so sorry.
You can't use that excuse. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I like all the movies. That's the truth. The U.S. military has now struck another alleged drug boat in the Eastern Pacific. The U.S. Southern Command said Wednesday that two people were killed in that attack, and it claims that their intelligence confirmed the vessel was engaged in narco trafficking operations. Ohio State University will pay $100 million to about 280 former students that claimed they were sexually abused by a campus doctor. That settlement ends a legal battle over accusations of sexual abuse by Dr. Richard Strauss, who allegedly groped hundreds of student athletes between 1978 and 1998. And the House has now passed a measure aimed at limiting President Trump's Iran war powers. The resolution passed 215 to 208 with four Republicans voting yes alongside all Democrats.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9,000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I designed your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
All right. I've got the next level of holy terror for you. You ready?
All right, let's do
so
it.
So you know that companies use software. They sometimes, some companies, not all companies, but some companies use like keystroke software to see what you're doing, especially in the wake of COVID and remote work. People will use they'll monitor your keyboard activity and your mouse to see if it's moving. That's why you had the mouse jiggler technology to come in and randomly move your mouse around to make it pretend like you were actually there during the Zoom meeting when you were actually taking a nap or, you know, doing your side hustle or whatever you were doing, right? Okay. There's all kinds of things that employers are using, you might say, against their employees to try to monitor behavior and maximize productivity. You ready for the next level of this?
No, but you're going to do it anyway.
Morphcast.
Huh?
Morphcast is the name of the company. Using software that uses your camera on your laptop to watch you. This is in the Atlantic. And will watch you to see your expressions. Think about how your car, some of the new cars are now monitoring you through the onboard camera to see if you're falling asleep. And then you're not paying attention. Time to look at the road. You know, like all the things.
What's that voice?
The smart car. I don't know. What does it sound like? I would never buy a car like this. It's insane. Anyway, If that's the only thing that's available in the newer cars, I'm buying an old car. I do not care. I'm not having my car tell me that I'm sleepy. I know I'm sleepy. I fall asleep if I want to behind the wheel. Anyway, joke about that. Joke. Okay. But it's like that, except on your laptop, and it reads your expressions. For what purpose? To figure out your mood. To see on a mental health app, to monitor whether you're paying attention in the meeting or students are paying attention in class, especially if they're a Zoom class. You know, there's some super creepy things out there. I mean, one of the technologies that my kids use in college is this thing where you got to be in front of the screen and you got to have your eyes on it. And there can't be like background noise. And sometimes it'll ask you to periodically stand up and turn around and do a 360 of your room to prove like there's nobody else in there with you. It's some crazy anti-cheating technology that's super invasive. Anyway, this technology will be used to see if customers in McDonald's in Portugal are in the mood for a coupon and then provide them the coupon. It'll tell you if you're amused, impatient, bored, super bored. There are some even things that a perfected Zoom filter can't hide. So it's designed for employees to figure out if you are emotionally engaged or if you're angry or if you're distracted. You know, if you're being suitably emotionally stated for the work that you're doing, and then to try to come up with a remediation plan or to send you to counseling if you need, you know, to be handled better.
I'm going to need counseling after this phone. I'm glad there were no cameras in here during the phone issue.
So, things like expectations that people will smile better, be in a better mood, to perform emotional, to emotion max better, to put on a better happy face. Women typically report that they are more often told to look cheerful at work because the expectation is if you're not cheerful at work, then you've got, you know, resting unhappy woman face or other terms that people might use. It's just another way of using the technology. Well, all we're doing is making sure our employees are happy.
That's where that tape and piece of paper go over the camera.
I know what we'll do. We'll give them all laptops so that they're more prone to misuse their laptops, and then we can have reasons to get rid of them. And I mean, like, it's just crazy the stuff that employers are doing these days. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by the Pensacola Little Theater. Coming to PLT, The Cottage, a fast-paced, laugh-out-loud farce full of twists, June 12th through the 21st. Tickets are available at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the box office. Still rolling accident-free, but if you're on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola or even Avalon Boulevard approaching I-10, you're going to see about a 7-minute delay in that area. Let's see here. 98's looking good so far. Not seeing anything else to slow you down. I-10, I-110 look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, I've been wanting to share this with you for a little while, and I think it's really interesting. Amy Coney Barrett recently spoke at an event in Texas. And I've played some of it for you, but she was talking about how she writes opinions.
If you might talk to us about how the process unfolds with respect to who writes the majority opinion, who writes the dissents, and how are those assignments made inside those closed doors?
We go into conference, and no one is there at a conference where we decide the cases besides the 9 justices. So there's no assistants, no law clerks. We just all sit around the table, and we vote, we explain our reasoning, and then the most senior justice, who is in the majority of justices whose view carries the day on a case and deciding the case, gets to assign that opinion. So if it's the Chief Justice makes the assignment. You know, if it's a Justice Sotomayor, then Justice Sotomayor makes the assignment. And the same is true for the dissent. You know, if there's a group of justices in dissent, whoever is the most senior justice in dissent will make the assignment of who is going to write the dissenting opinion.
Okay, this will blow your mind. John, have you ever done any writing for publication of any kind? Like,
oh, yes.
Okay, and how many drafts did you write?
A lot.
5, 10?
Yeah, let's go with 5.
Okay, 5. Same. When I do publication stuff, it's usually probably 4 to 5 drafts. Transgressors gets 3 edits, okay, which is a lot typically. But, okay, listen to this.
Then the judge, who's the authoring judge, will write out the reasoning. And when I say it's our most important work product, we're the only branch of government that actually has to publish an account of why we did what we did.
Right.
And it has to be readable and it has to be defensible, which is why I say, you know, criticize. If you think it's not defensible, if a dissent had the better of the argument, well, then that's great. That's a fair criticism to make. But we try, you know, very hard, both majorities and dissents, to lay out our reasoning to show why we reached the result that we did. We exchanged drafts, multiple drafts. I mean, and I'm writing some opinions right now, and my clerks and I mean, we'll sometimes go through 60 or 70 drafts before we even circulate it. And then it circulates within the court, and then people are asking for changes, and you're going back and forth. And so there's been a lot of writing and a lot of discussion that goes on before you see the final product when it's handed down.
Did you catch that number?
We'll sometimes go through 60 or 70 drafts before we even circulate.
Good Lord.
Wow. Nope. There we go.
I mean, 10 is a lot.
Right.
In writing for publication, 10 is a lot. 5 is pretty normal. And, you know, if it goes through layers of editors or whatever, but 60 or 70 drafts before the Supreme Court opinions get published. She also says that she likes to write her first round longhand with paper and pen, because there's no need to feel it's perfect because she knows it's going to get edited later.
All right, 7:30 at News Radio 92.3. Sounds like we're having an issue with Fox News, but we'll check in with them again at 8 o'clock this morning. New Florida law taking effect in July will require ECG heart screenings for all new high school athletes, a partnership between the University of West Florida and the nonprofit Who We Play For is helping to meet that demand by training student volunteers. Organizers say about 1 in 300 young athletes screened has a heart condition. Upcoming low-cost screenings are planned June 6th at Gulf Breeze High School and June 13th on Nine Mile Road in Pensacola. A 73-year-old Pensacola man is behind bars after surveillance footage caught him allegedly shooting his neighbor's truck. Curtis Shine was arrested May 25th. He's facing charges of property damage, firing a weapon in public, and shooting into a vehicle. According to an arrest report, video shows Shine looking into the truck's windows and then bending down near the radiator, firing a shot, damaging the truck to the tune of about $1,200. The neighbor told police there was a history of harassment. Shine's being held on $29,000 bond. Well, takeover events at local beaches and public spaces have reportedly cost Escambia County taxpayers more than $100,000 in overtime and extra staffing costs. Sheriff Chip Simmons tells Channel 3 that his department had stopped attempted takeovers at Pensacola Beach, Perdido Key, and Cordova Mall. That issue now drawing statewide attention after a shooting at a teen takeover in Clearwater. Florida's attorney general says state prosecutors are developing plans to hold takeover organizers accountable. Another takeover was reportedly being planned at Crab Island in Destin on Father's Day weekend. A 31-year-old Escambia County man facing two federal charges after being indicted on gun and drug possession counts. Joseph Jeremy Reynolds Jr. is charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and two counts of drug possession. If convicted on those charges, he could face up to 21 years in a federal prison. Now, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement issuing two missing child alerts for a couple of teenagers. 16-year-old Giovanni Young of Pasco County was last seen in Newport Richey. They believe could be traveling to Hudson, and 16-year-old Alyssa McCarthy of Hamilton County was last seen in Jasper, and they believe could be heading to Madison County. FDLE's posted photos of both of those teens on their website. The main candidate being considered for the University of Florida's next president, making his pitch to the Gator Nation. Stuart Bell addressing students, faculty, and staff in Gainesville yesterday, saying he believes in merit, excellence, and a free exchange of ideas. He also says he won't be bringing back DEI. The 69-year-old spent 10 years as the president of the University of Alabama. The UF Board of Trustees will vote on his nomination next Thursday. Well, the Northview High School FFA chapter received $1,000 in support on Tuesday to help students attend state FFA conventions In Orlando later this month, the Century Town Council approving a $750 contribution. Mayor Ben Boutwell also pledging an additional $250 personally. Several students will be competing in events, with nine of them set to receive the state FFA degree and one earning the American FFA degree. Officials called the students the community's future leaders. Pensacola man on trial for second-degree murder of his father after reportedly telling investigators he shot him because he was stressed out. Jurors, according to the PNJ, heard a recorded interview Wednesday in which 26-year-old Jalen Prude told detectives, quote, "I just shot him." His father, Aries Prude, was found shot four times in his living room back in June of 2024. Defense attorneys say that they believe Staples DNA evidence will create reasonable doubt, pointing out his fingerprints were not found on the guns magazine or the ammunition. And it's 7:35 right now at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got an accident at Pine Forest Road and West 9 Mile Road. It's not blocking any roads, but seeing just some minor delay in that area. Just wanted you to be aware. And let's see here. I-10 westbound as you approach the 9 Mile exit, seeing just a few minute delay. But other than that, 98 is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Drier air behind a cold front settles into the area today. Morning temperatures starting out in the 60s and 70s, warming up into the 80s this afternoon. Seeing sunshine all the way from start to finish. And that drier air will allow rain chances to be very low all throughout the day. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell, your WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
And right now we've got 76 degrees with sunshine here in Pensacola. It is 74 in Gulf Breeze and 70 in Milton. Our next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Broadcom reported weaker than expected revenue in its fiscal second quarter earnings report. Leading up to the report, revenue has surged in recent quarters, driven by demand for custom AI chips. CEO Hock Tan did not raise the company's full-year target of $100 billion in AI chip sales. Its shares are down 15%. Prologis CEO Dan Letter said on CNBC that the company's growing data center business represents one of its biggest opportunities yet as demand for AI infrastructure accelerates. The company has already energized 5.6 gigawatts of power across its data center pipeline and started $1.3 billion data center projects. CrowdStrike has announced a 4-to-1 stock split and narrowly beat Wall Street's fiscal 2027 first quarter estimates. Shares are up about 60% this year as companies lean into more cyber tools to fend off advanced AI attacks. CEO George Kurtz said the company is critical to successful AI adoption. Futures are still mixed. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Great to have you. A little bit of a follow-up story. We had had this terrible incident where someone allegedly ran the light at 9th and Bayou, was captured on the red light camera. He wound up running into a female driver who was pregnant, killing her and the baby. And then the way this had been talked about was that there would be an arrest pending. You've now arrested this person, right?
Yes, we did, but the mother survived. The baby did not.
Thank you for correcting me on that. Thank God. Okay, but the baby did not. But okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we it takes time to get these cases together through testing and all, and we did determine that alcohol was not a factor. So we have to get all of that together before we issue a warrant and make an arrest and complete the case. And I know it's frustrating to the family, and it's frustrating to us that it does take so long at times. But we did end up with this paperwork, with this warrant, and he has been charged with manslaughter.
And this is a case where just to remind people, this is a case where because we have the red light cameras, we were able to make this prosecution, or at least make it much more likely.
Yeah, there was no doubt what happened. He was speeding down 9th Avenue southbound. He went through one intersection that had a red light camera, and then the next one at 9th and Bayou, the collision was caught on camera. And both, he was caught on camera speeding through the prior intersection. So, we have everything documented on it. It's going to be a solid case.
Mm. Okay. Well, I mean, again, I hate the bad things happen, but I'd rather be able to punish the people who do the bad things, right? You had a kind of a weird incident take place at PPD headquarters there on Haines Street. What happened?
Well, we had an individual breach the perimeter of our back parking lot that is fenced in, that is secure, that has cameras. That's the key part here. And that's monitored. And he got into a unmarked police vehicle and attempted to steal it. He was quickly apprehended, and while officers were questioning him, he said his intention was to steal that police vehicle and lead them on a chase. So fortunately, that didn't happen, and he is well aware that the back parking lot is monitored very well.
So he climbed the fence, got into a cruiser, tried to steal it, and his goal was to drive it like he stole it. His goal was to lead you on a chase. And in the end, you guys, because you had the camera surveillance system, because you were monitoring all this, I guess he didn't even get, did he get the car even started? He didn't get out of the PPD parking lot, right?
No, he never got the vehicle started, never got out of the lot. He was captured very quickly.
Okay. All right. Well, word to the wise, don't be dumb, I guess. I just think, okay, all right. Also, at Wahoo's, we've had a couple of more incidents, right? Something that you and I talk about periodically. It's just amazing what people try to do.
Yeah, it happened again Wednesday night. Two individuals broke into the park or entered the park. Usually that's by climbing a fence. They were trying to rip the televisions off the wall and get into a cooler area. But again, this park is monitored by cameras. They were caught, arrested, and lo and behold, Friday night it happened once again with three more. They were also caught. So we got to get to know around Pensacola. The 3 mile bridge is like 500-0. Baptist Hospital, the old Baptist Hospital, is 8-0, and I think the ballpark by now is about 10-0. So these are places that you don't want to challenge, and you're going to get caught. So they're monitored.
I think
that's the message that we want to get out to people.
I think you said 3 mile bridge, but you meant graffiti bridge, right? That nobody defeats graffiti bridge, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. Graffiti bridge is what I was talking about.
Absolutely.
And,
Palafox is back open to vehicle traffic. The first car down was the brand new PPD Cruiser. And how's Palafox? Anything of note? Anything you guys have observed? How does that affect policing, if at all?
Nothing. So far, so good. There might be a little confusion on the some of the intersections that have what looks like roundabouts, but those are not roundabouts. You drive straight through like you used to do, of course, after you stop. But these are designed to slow traffic down. And so far, so good with the new Palafox. It looks great, and it's functioning very well.
You know, I was surprised at this because I think when you see the renderings, it feels like it's going to be confusing that it's going to look like a roundabout. But as a walker and as somebody who thinks about it as what a driver would experience, like, no issue. It's almost you don't even think that it's going to be a roundabout. So I'm surprised that people have that expectation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, if you look at the if you go down there and look at it in person, it's much too small to be a roundabout.
Right.
So it's really. Yeah, so that's the difference between the rendering and actually being there.
Yeah, it just doesn't give the same visual that you would experience if it were actually a roundabout. So I'm a little surprised that people continue to think that that's going to be an issue because I just don't think that it's going to be whatsoever. We're talking to Mike Wood, our public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got an accident that just popped up at Gulf Breeze Parkway and Portside Drive. That's causing some delays right there on 98 before you get to the Garcelon Point Bridge. Let's see here. I-10 westbound between Highway 29 and Pine Forest, seeing about a six-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood from the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I've been asking both sheriffs their view of this. I know you're not the chief. You don't set policy, but certainly you guys have talked about this. If Jimmy Patronis's bill, which it's got a long way to go, but if his bill to legalize machine guns goes forward, what does that do for law enforcement for you, and have you guys taken any kind of a position on this issue at all?
No, we haven't, and we're not going to on any kind of pending law. If it becomes legal to do that, then it's legal to carry a machine gun, and that's just the way it'll be. It was the same way with open carry. You know, whether we like it or not, or behind it or not, then that's not up to us. But our job is to enforce laws that are on the books, and if that becomes legal to do, then so be it.
I know we've been talking about it a lot, primarily because Jimmy's our congressman, but typically when there's big changes to the law like this, or even smaller ones, you know, the Police Chiefs Association, Sheriff's Association, you know, the unions, people put out analysis pieces, guidance pieces. You know, has there been anything like that from the law enforcement community as far as that goes?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And I didn't think there was either, but I want to check because you would be much more likely to know than I would for sure. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You got anything for us this week, Mike?
Yeah, this is a did you know, and it kind of comes from our last conversation, the last time we talked about the new police car. And things about it that are different, that are new. But this one has to do with the tires on police cars. I was asked about this again recently. Can the public buy these tires? And the difference on these so-called, they're sometimes referred to as pursuit-rated tires, and they're engineered for extreme durability.
So they're designed to be resilient. They're designed to be what, heat resistant, puncture proof. I mean, I think of, you know, there are certain kinds of tires that are better for this than other ones. And obviously the ratio of the sidewall to the width, the tread, all the thickness of the rubber, there's all kinds of things that go into that. But the pursuit rating, are they, I mean, that's not just like a Z rating, because I know they're not flat, but what makes them so different?
Well, the stiff sidewalls again, and which are a lot stiffer. That's why they kind of ride like a log wagon compared to a normal passenger vehicle.
Nice.
And so we do feel it. It's not just the tires, it's the suspension and all, but they're specialized rubber compounds, and they're rated up to a speed of 168 miles an hour. And the question becomes, and this is what I was asked, can we, the public, buy police speed-rated tires? And the answer is yes, absolutely you can.
Well, cool. I'll put some on my Civic.
Well, that's not something. I don't know if I would suggest it because they can be a little pricey. And again, if you want your car to ride like a Kenworth, then go ahead and put those on there. But they're pretty tough.
Built for durability, not necessarily for comfort. I appreciate that. Mike Wood is the public information officer for PPD, and we always talk to him on a Thursday. Mike, as always, thank you for the information. Thanks for keeping us safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
7:48 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have any kind of air conditioning, heating, electrical, plumbing, generator need, whether you need a new one or need one that exists serviced, Peden, they can take care of you for that. You know, I always like to say that they started as a little project, right? Robert Peden in 1969 just thought, hey, I can help people in Panama City be cooler in the summer and probably make good money doing it. So we did. And then, of course, over time, branched out in product lines to include the electrical and the plumbing, branched out geographically, has been in Pensacola for a long time in Ellison Field, but east to Tallahassee, west to Baldwin County over the last couple of years, even into Mobile. And so two states all along the Gulf Coast, two time zones, 100% satisfaction guarantee on all of their work. It's good people putting in good products and standing by all of that work. And right now, this spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with your new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That includes the scheduled maintenance. So normally you have to pay for that, but that includes it. Priority service. So if there's a lot of people trying to get service, you go to the top of the line. And 15% off any repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Thinking about starting your GLP-1 journey? Go to orderlymeds.com/radio. Get access to proven GLP-1 medications, licensed providers, and a plan built for real life. All online. No guesswork, no wasted time. Just real people. Real answers, real momentum, and support that actually lasts. Join thousands already seeing results. Start now at orderlymeds.com/radio. Orderlymeds.com/radio. Individual results may vary. Not medical advice. Eligibility required. See site for details.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sonny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
And I'm sure you'll be happy to know that I have notified your local draft boards and told them that you are now all eligible for military service.
We can dance if we want to, we can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
Good morning, 7:52 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Thursday to you. Hope you're enjoying it. It's bright and sunny and pretty and back to paradise like normal. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
One person has died, three others are hurt after a shooting at a California high school following a graduation ceremony that happened last night at Fairfield High School. His pictures were being taken in the parking lot. The person killed was reportedly 18 years old. One of the injured victims was only 11. The shooter is still on the loose. A flesh-eating screwworm has been confirmed in the U.S. The parasite burrows into the flesh of living animals and was apparently eradicated in the U.S. at about 60 years ago. But yesterday, the USDA said it had been detected in a three-week-old calf in South Texas. They're working to contain that infestation. Amazon is unveiling a new AI robot that they say obeys verbal commands. The global online retailer revealed its new mobile robot at the Amazon Fulfillment Center in London. They said the next generation Proteus robot can respond to conversational prompts. The new robot will be rolling through Amazon Fulfillment Centers across Europe starting early next year. I'm not sure what the scarier story is, the flesh-eating parasite or the robot.
We go to BJ's and they got the little, you know, robot running around in the store. Deep, 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 deep. I mean, I don't carry a baseball bat with me, but there are times I wish I had one. We ate at a Japanese place not that long ago. One of these, like, maybe not Japanese, maybe it was a pho, but it was, you know, Asian. Okay, I know they're all different. Anyway, and it had a little robot that delivered the food. No. And, you know, other people seem to think it was cool, like John Pickens.
It is very cool.
Because John Pickens is going to collaborate with the
Did
robots.
Did you tip
when
the
they
robot?
Take no. Oh, you mean tip him over?
Oh.
Tempting. He's probably got some self-writing device. All
Thank
right, David,
you,
thanks
May
so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. And then, oh, somebody followed up to text me about the in China that, you know, the AI monitoring your expressions and your mood if you're a worker or you're a student to make sure that you're max performing or whatever. Says China's been using that kind of AI facial tech to gauge engagement of their elementary students and look for lack of understanding of topics during instruction for about 10 years. He says we may well be closer to losing the coming war than we realize. I mean, sometimes just a good hearty grunt is all you really need to say about a subject. Hey, if you are thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection, good quality used cars, but it's not, I mean, the cars are great, the prices are great, the selection, all that, that's true. And they warranty everything to 10 years or 100,000 miles, you know, cars that have had one owner, and that's all great, okay? There's just the basic what they sell and what the price is, which is good. But it's the mindset. It's the design of how they do it that's different. And, you know, I used to teach philosophy, and in philosophy we talk about, you know, single iteration encounters and multiple iteration encounters. There's a thing called the prisoner's dilemma, and it's basically meant to show you what do you do if there's no penalty to you for treating somebody badly, but there's a great reward. You know, it's very tempting to take advantage. But if you're going to come back again and again and again and interact with that person, it makes more sense to cooperate. Well, that's a perfect illustration of the difference between how typically used car places, and even some new car places, deal with you as opposed to Frontier. It's a, well, we're only going to see you one time, so let's take as much advantage of you as we can get in this one time. And you feel it. That's why you feel icky when you go there. When you go to Frontier, it's just not like that. They hope to see you many times, so they treat you like a friend, a neighbor, a, you know, a colleague, a, somebody else who's going to come back, a family member, whatever. So it's just different, and I recommend go try it. See for yourself. Prove me wrong. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. What did you?
I just
are you mocking
to,
me?
No, I was just pointing
You're imitating
back at you.
Me.
I just wanted to do it.
After our earlier incident?
It's been,
perfect.
Yeah, it's been a long morning. Okay, brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that Florida West focuses on attracting expanded businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy. Let's see here. We are back to rolling accident-free, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 and also through I-10 westbound as you approach the 9 Mile exit right there, through those construction zones, seeing about a 6-minute delay in both areas. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, we got a note in here. I had somebody text me, and I want to tell you in advance that I don't know if the whole of this is accurate, but I'm going to tell you kind of what's going on at the airport. The text I got was, FYI, apparently lightning struck the only viable runway at Pensacola Airport, struck at the gate. May want to let listeners know PNS is shut down. Well, the website looked fine, and I immediately texted Matt Coughlin, who's a good friend, and, you know, he's the airport director. And then I texted DC as well because I thought, hey, if he's busy solving a problem, DC might know, whereas Matt, you know, may not be able to get back to me or whatever. And so I checked, and I don't know about the lightning part. I cannot verify that, but I was told by the mayor that the runway is down for emergency concrete repair for about 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So
because we only have one right now.
There's just one, right. The other one is under a massive refurbishment. Mm-hmm. And so normally we have two runways. Right now we only have one, and the one is, you know, yay.
Yay, hooray.
So in the grand scheme of things, would you rather have your phone system crap out while you're talking to a U.S. senator, or would you rather have your runway struck, if it was struck by lightning, and have to do emergency concrete repair? You know, I don't know, 6-7.
6-7.
You know, whatever. All right, 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, I actually just got word from Matt Coughlin. It's now open, back open. So I'm sure they were
good.
Which is, yeah, I mean, you know, and I had checked the board, and the board didn't seem to indicate any delays. So I, you know, I just wasn't quite sure what to make of it. And, you know, I'm never going to go on the radio and be like, I got one person telling me that there's a catastrophe, you know, because that's the job of, you know, news is to verify before you say. 437-1620, 437-1620. College degrees that you can get in 3 months? No. Come on. No, but there's apparently there are, it's online, you know, so it's based on performing your way through the activities rather than attending in class or whatever. But I mean, that's not a college degree. I don't care what else you prove. Although I am a big fan of the idea that you would be able to pass tests rather than to perform classwork. But getting a college degree isn't just about having passed certain benchmarks. It's about having gone through a process of collaboration and talking and arguing and asking questions and writing. And it's a process that is distinct from merely passing certain qualification tests. There is absolutely no way you can equate what I earned in a bachelor's degree with 3 months only of any kind of work under any circumstances. So, no, this is not good that this is where we're at with some online program.
Listen on air.